Hey, what's up? This is Terrell J. Johnson coming at you from the Black Engineering Podcast. It's going to be episode number 4. We're going to talk about user experience, as it pertains to app development, web development, things like that. So a lot of people don't really understand what user experience is. And yeah, user experience is like what you see. It's like how your fingers like swipe and interact with any type of device that you're using. But really, more importantly, user experience is like how your users interact with the app. And so it's really important to kind of understand, going back into the design phase of it and really working with like a user experience engineer to really understand, you know, the different stories that you're trying to tell, the different use cases that people are going to have like for your application. And are you able to get to that use case and get out of your app, you know, as quick as possible? And so this also goes with web design. And so web design and app design, they all start with a design. Is it designed to work? Is it designed to make sense? Are the right elements in the right spot? Or are you taking in, you know, factors of what type of device that they're going to be using? Are they going to be using an iPhone? Are they going to be using like an Android? Are they going to be using like a large form Android versus a smaller screen Android? Are they going to be using a tablet? Are they going to be looking at your application in horizontal mode or landscape mode or portrait mode? And so all these are things that you have to consider. And so when you're creating like a website, and you're trying to get from A to Z and like you can't get there, or you get to a part of your website where you get stuck or something that doesn't make sense, I think it's really important that people, you know, take into consideration that, hey, you're going to have a wide range of people who are going to be using your app. And so I think like with user experience, I see it time and time again where people have these like off the shelf or these like third party manila applications. And what that means is that, you know, you have a website that some type of way you're able to port into an iOS app or an Android app. Well, a lot of times you end up running into problems because depending on which browser that these third-party wrappers are using, you're kind of limited to that. And sometimes you may not know. Or sometimes maybe there's a fix in Chrome that can make your website work better. But since you have people going through your website or downloading the app, that it just doesn't work. And so you want your application to look cool. You don't want it to be dated. And so that means really getting a designer to design it, to get a developer to develop it based on the design, making sure that your developer and your designer can actually work together to actually be able to make sure that your design is actually possible. Sometimes you get these designers and they want to do these like off the wall, like crazy designs. And in actuality, you can't really code those, or it may work on the desktop, but it doesn't work on your phone, or it may work on the phone, but it may not work on the tablet. And so you have to make sure that you're trying your design or your application on as many devices as possible. And I think a lot of people get in trouble when they're trying to launch these new platforms. They come up with like this, you know, MVP type solution, but they're presented as if it's not an MVP. And what an MVP means is like minimal viable product or most viable product, however you want to look at it. But basically it means that this is a version that you can like take that's tangible, that you can start to put into people's hands so that they can test and give you feedback. Sometimes you may have an MVP for an investor, and then the investor just wants to be able to see it, or you want to be able to, again, like send it out to them, let them design it. Maybe you build them an account, things like that. But a lot of times, like, people don't take this approach when they're developing. And so you're going to always like need to have these different environments as well, because you don't want to be the person to break your design by pushing out a change. And so even if it's with like your website, you want to make sure that you have a staging environment. Your staging environment is going to be the place where you're going to be kind of building out and making the changes that you are eventually going to push out to your next environment, which is like your dev. And so, or actually it's the reverse. So you would have your dev environment first. So you would be developing there. You would be going through all your code, making all the changes, kind of previewing it. Once you compile everything, you're going to push it to your stage environment. And so you can imagine a situation in which your designer is coding over here. Once he's ready for you to see it as being the client, then he's going to push it to stage. Stage is going to be live. It's going to kind of emulate what they would see, which would be in the next stage, which is production, what they would see over there. And so I think it's important that, like, once you have it in stage, you know, you're testing it, you're doing all your regression testing. And that basically means that is everything that was working prior to this change continuing to work? Then you're going to have your functionality test. Is my bare basic functionality continuing to work? And then you're going to have your, like, your new feature testing, which is, hey, are all the new features working and behaving as I expected? And so anytime that you're changing up any workflow, you're going to want to use the same, like, you know, kind of like thought process. You want to be able to make sure that, hey, something was working. Let's make sure that I have that version backed up before we start making any changes, because in the event that I need to revert anything back, I have that original code base that I can always get back to. But you're going to want to make sure that, you know, you're getting it in as many people's hands as possible, that you're giving it to, you know, people that have different viewpoints, like whether it's your mom or whether it's your dad or whether it's a kid, really getting it into the hands of its intended audience. So that way you can, like, develop it and, you know, get it to where it needs to be, prevent the least, you know, the minimum amount of bugs from, like, kind of creeping up, and just make sure that your product doesn't look weak, making sure that your product, when people download it, that, you know, they don't stop using it the first second, making sure when they go to your website and they're trying to fill out a form that there's not any bugs. So you want to do your best to try to, you know, eliminate and mitigate, like, as many things as possible, especially when it comes to, you know, engineering, and just making sure that, like, it looks good, it feels good, making sure that the elements, like, make sense. But I think end-user experience is a thing that a lot of people really overlook. QA is definitely a huge topic. We're going to be hopefully getting a really dope QA engineer on the podcast in the future. She'll be able to kind of explain to us, like, her take on QA, and we'll have, like, some really, you know, cool conversations around things that she's seen, dirty code, bad code, code that breaks other things, code that is kind of left. Because at the end of the day, like, you don't want to be the one who writes some dirty code that either gets caught by your own team, or that it gets leaked into the world and it creates a vulnerability exposing your user data to the world. So yeah, so I just want to talk about user experience and, like, why it's so important. I mean, I really feel it's passionate, because if I'm working on a product and it's not working how I want it to work, I'm going to almost immediately cringe, maybe stop using it. Or if I'm really inclined to, like, want to be able to help, then I actually will reach back out to the developers and try to help them make an awesome product. So again, this is Terrell J. Johnson. This is episode number 4 of the Black Engineer Podcast. Again, just a freestyle. We're just getting started. We're trying to introduce all the things that we're going to be talking about, as well as just give you a little insight on some of the things that we're going to be doing. So make sure you follow the Black Engineer Podcast at the Black Engineer Podcast on Instagram, and tune to us next time. And if you got any topics, feel free to hit us up. Peace.